down. Buzzer beater, do it all now. All now. Top corner talking home run. Touchdown. Buzzer beater, do it all now. All now. Top corner like.
All right. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. It is Monday, February 17th, 2025. Welcome to the Monday Report. I'm your host, H. James K., and this is Episode 3. The game was rigged from the start. Perceptions of officiating in sports. Today, we'll be talking about the good and bad of officiating and what makes officiating bad in all forms of sport. So, before we can talk about why, we need to talk about what makes officiating bad. The whole point of officiating is to have people who are above the game, who are the arbiters of truth, the last great authority on everything having to do with the game we play. Whether that is tennis, hockey, football, basketball, baseball, IndyCar racing, NASCAR, pole vaulting, every form of sport all over the world has rules, and those rules need to be adjudicated by officials or judges or stewards, whatever the sport ends up calling them. But there's good officiating and there's bad officiating. Good officiating is officiating that's never even noticed. It does its job and nobody notices and nobody cares because it's fair and it's understood and there's nothing inherently wrong with it. But then there are those officials out there who make the game about themselves. The worst offenders I can think of, I mean, what was his name? Robert Torbert, whoever, the official for the Super Bowl. He's known for how tight he calls NFL games, especially in regarding to holding. In other sports, you've got Angel Hernandez, who's arguably the worst umpire in the history of professional baseball. He's rude, vindictive, inconsistent, and his strike zone is a vague notion. But even beyond stick and ball sports, motorsport has bad officiating too, and that can take the form in very different ways, which is the whole point. Bad officiating can be a multitude of things. One of the ones that's the worst is vague reasoning. Vague reasoning would be like the NFL's catch rule, where what is a catch? What isn't a catch? What's a forward pass? What's a fumble? Is it a strip sack? Is it not a strip sack? Well, he hit him, but did he hit him too hard? Did he not hit him hard enough? You know, he landed on him, but does that mean it's a sack? Or does that mean it's a... Is it a roughing the passer? The vague reasoning of these rules can lend itself to bad officiating. Like, the Detroit Lions, going back 50 years, have been the victim of horrible officiating. Like, back in the Matt Stafford days, Aaron Rodgers was gifted a face mask call and a Hail Mary when the player touched his shoulder pads, not his helmet. And on the next play, Aaron Rodgers threw a game-winning touchdown Hail Mary. Yeah, there was that one. In 2014, during the playoffs, the Lions were wronged when an official called pass interference on the Cowboys, and then another official picked it up even though it was a clear pass interference. Or the one several years ago where the Minnesota Vikings and the Rams are... Not the Rams. The Minnesota Vikings and the New Orleans Saints are playing, and the Vikings absolutely maul the Saints receiver, or vice versa. It was years ago, and I can't quite remember. And one team ended up going to the NFC Championship game, and the other team didn't. And it was because of that call, where that call decided the game, and it was so blatantly wrong because the rules are inconsistently defined. Like in the NFL... A catch is something I have to explain to people every single time there's a judgment on what's a catch. 2 feet down, but he's got to complete the process of the catch. Well, what's the process of a catch? Well, he's got to go to the ground. And he's got to survive contact with the ground. but the ball can touch the ground. It doesn't matter. It just has to not move. Well, does he have to have a hand underneath the ball? No, but yes. And there's all these different layers to rules. They're like pass interference. Hand fighting is allowed, but only some hand fighting. And certain types of hand fighting are not allowed. Like, you can hand fight each other, but if the receiver, as we saw in the playoffs, puts his hand on the face mask of the defender, it's offensive pass interference, but sometimes it's not. And this vagueness of officiating can make the game feel rigged from time to time. There were many weeks in the 2024 NFL season where it looked like the NFL was rigging games for the Chiefs, because the Chiefs had this otherworldly ability to draw personal fouls on failed third and longs. And they would get a first down and then immediately go down the field and score a touchdown. It got to the point where people didn't even understand the rules that were being called against these teams that were helping the Chiefs. And it gave the appearance of impropriety, which leads into a whole other thing, which we'll talk about later. But when it comes to vague reasoning, even in motorsports, vague reasoning can be devastating. Like, in IndyCar, the officials allow the drivers to really bump and bam into each other a lot. But there are times where there will be a crash, or a driver will have not given his opponent enough room in a corner, and sometimes they'll call it, and you'll call a reckless driving or whatever they want to call it, and other times they won't, and there's no real rhyme or reason differentiating between the two. And it's that inconsistency that frustrates a lot of sports fans. Speaking of inconsistency of application of the rules. Even when the rules are clearly defined, there will be times where officials are calling games unevenly. Like, I think it was in 2023, there was a game where the Eagles had 16 penalties and the other team had 2. And it was all kinds of penalties. And it wasn't that one team was more undisciplined than the other. It was that the officials weren't consistently calling things. Like, back in my teenage years, there were games where Ohio State would get away with things on defense that would make me tear my hair out, and Michigan wouldn't get those kind of calls. Pass interference, holding, late hits on the quarterback, all sorts of stuff, late hits out of bounds that the refs wouldn't call consistently, but because Ohio State was the better team, everyone just seemed to let it go, which obviously led to acrimony among Michigan fans. And this isn't even a Michigan versus Ohio State thing. We've seen this all over the place where inconsistent, uneven application of the rules leads to situations where you're like, how is it possible that you saw that when you've called that same thing differently the rest of the game? Or the race, or the marathon, or whatever you're calling. One of the worst examples of like uneven officiating or making up rules was during the 2021 or the 2022 Formula One season. It's Max Verstappen versus Lewis Hamilton at the last race. There's like a couple of laps left, and the two drivers were there were several cars separating Max Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton. Hamilton being in front, Verstappen being like 5 cars behind. And in Formula One, it's very difficult to pass. So in the like 2 laps left, there didn't seem to be enough time for the Red Bull car driven by Max Verstappen to pass the cars needed to even get close to Lewis Hamilton. But out of nowhere, they just waved Max Verstappen by the cars in front of him so that he could then get behind Lewis Hamilton before the race restarted. And fans were absolutely outraged, because what ended up happening is the race went green. Max Verstappen passed Lewis Hamilton and drove off into the distance and won the race and the championship. And watching the race, you can hear Toto Wolff, the team principal for Mercedes AMG Petronas Formula One, whatever the heck their name is these days. And he's going, you know, no, Michael, no, you can't do that. That's not allowed. No, this is wrong. And he's protesting and protesting, and nothing came of it. And of course, they changed the rules after that, but, well, it's too little too late. And from now on, from then on, even though it was Max Verstappen's first championship, it was tainted. People, even Max Verstappen fans were like, I don't like how he won that race because it was so disappointing in how the officiating made itself a part of the game. And it's one of these things where when it comes down to like how to fix these things, the solutions seem easy. Like when it comes to baseball, the inconsistency of the strike zone is a glaring issue. Like there are times when Angel Hernandez, the strike zone will look like it's halfway down the catcher's left ankle up to his left ear, but it's like above his right knee, below his right shoulder, where it's like these weird shapes are like balls that are like a foot and a half over the strike zone are being called strikes because of where Angel Hernandez is standing, or, you know, balls that are really, really, really way inside being called fair because he can't see or he's not seeing the field well. An easy solution for this is you use something like the Rapsodo, where it basically it's this little computer thing that it tracks the ball as it goes into the strike zone, and it keeps track of its own strike zone, so it can call balls and strikes. It can keep track of ball speed, spin, launch angle, and all these things. A lot of like batting cages and batting practice will use the Rapsodo and hit tracks and stuff like that. Hit tracks especially to track the ball when they're going in. That way you don't have to have an umpire when you're doing batting practice. Well, how hard would it be to install a hit tracks or a Rapsodo or whatever system on the field like 10 feet in front of home plate so that it's like it keeps track of the balls and the strikes. And even if you don't want to get rid of the umpire, you have something you can check the umpire against to make sure he's getting the really blatantly wrong calls correct. Because there are some times where you're like, how do you get paid what you get paid for making a call that dumb, that inconsistent, that wrong? And like when it comes to the NFL, the things that can be done to fix the officiating, clarify the rules. Like in college football, a catch is, do you have a foot in bounds? Is the ball not moving? Yes, yes, cool. It's a catch. What is targeting? Actually, I shouldn't give that example. Targeting is inconsistent. That's not a clarified rule. But like, what is roughing the passer? Did you blow up the quarterback after he threw the ball? Yes, cool. It's roughing the passer. In the NFL, a catch is like 2 feet. Plus, did he get it down? Did he survive contact with the ground? Did he make a football move? All of these stupid caveats and subsections of different rules to explain what is a catch. Or like roughing the passer, if you hit him, but you just tap him, it's fine. But if you hit him and you go to the ground, it might also be fine depending on when he threw the ball. But if you hit him and you take him to the ground and you use your weight and land on him with your weight, then that is roughing the passer no matter what. And there's no rhyme or reason for any of these distinctions because they're a distinction without the difference. Either you blew up the quarterback or you didn't. But in the NFL, they thrive on the controversy created by uneven application of the rules. So if the NFL would clarify what is roughing the passer, what is pass interference, what is a catch, you know, what are these specific rules that are enforced so unevenly? And like when it comes to spotting the football, how hard would it be to put a GPS tracker in the ball and put little nodes under the turf to keep track of the position of the ball to the exact like millimeter? I mean, tennis does that. Tennis does that with the out-of-bounds markers on every pitch, field, court, on every court. So it's one of these things where the technology is out there, but there has to be the wherewithal to install the technology, to embrace the technology, to teach sometimes 60 and 70 year old officials how to use technology that is alien to them, which, as we've seen with Congress, not to be political, is something they're afraid of. These officials break out in hives when you ask them, would a computer help you call games? They're like, no, absolutely not. It's got to be me. And then you say, but you suck at this. Yeah, well, it's still got to be me because I'm the official. So embracing technology, clarifying rules, calling games consistently. And another one I almost forgot is transparency. Explain why decisions are made. Like the United Football League, the Spring Football League, which I'm going to be talking about in an episode in a couple of months, maybe a month. They have a sky judge who can make calls on the field, and they have a universal challenge where a team can challenge anything they want. And most of all, the referees are mic'd up. So when they're huddled around discussing a call, you can hear what they're saying. You can even hear what the booth is saying to them, which means there is 100% transparency on their decision-making, which is why no matter how uneven the calls may look in a UFL game, nobody ever accuses the UFL of rigging games because everyone understands and sees what is happening with the officials. And it's these little things, the access, the giving fans a peek behind the curtain that can do a lot to assuage the worries that the game that everyone loves, the game that I love, is rigged. Because if the Chiefs had gotten a series of really bad calls in their favor and won against the Eagles in spite of the Eagles' dominating performance, people would be calling the 24 season rigged forever, because every week the Chiefs were helped. And if they went all the way to the Super Bowl that way, well, then obviously the game is rigged and it hurts the perception of the game. Ultimately, the Chiefs got blown out because the Eagles were a damn buzzsaw, but that's beside the point. The point is, in the absence of good officiating, fans will come to their own conclusions to explain why certain teams keep winning, why things happen. And more often than not, we see, as we see in life, people just go, well, obviously they're cheating. Obviously that's not fair. Which it does a disservice not only to the game, but to the officials, because these officials, some of them are like, you know, Ed Hockley and Mike Pereira and all these, they worked hard or work hard at their craft. They put a lot of effort into what they're doing. And it is incumbent upon us as fans to give them that respect. But at the same time, we can only give them that respect if we actually believe they're being honest. It's a very mixed up kind of thing where on the one hand, we need to respect them to allow them to do what they do, but they also need to do their job well to allow us to respect what they do. It's Ouroboros. It's the snake that's eating itself. But ultimately, I think we're going to be seeing solutions. Like, I think robo strike zone in baseball is coming. I think within a decade, the strike zone is going to be monitored by a computerized system with a radar detection or whatever. Just like I think within 10 years, the NFL is going to be spotting the ball with a GPS because the accuracy would help prevent games where you're like, how the heck did he get there, but you marked the football 2 yards further back? Or how did you give him that spot when he slid short of the first down or that kind of thing? So I think those solutions, on top of clarifying rules and more evenly enforcing rules, are what is going to ultimately help football, basketball, baseball, Formula One racing, IndyCar racing, and all these other sports elevate the level of officiating within their relative disciplines to make the game better. Because I go back to this often. The best game I've ever watched was Michigan versus Alabama in the Rose Bowl for the 2023 football season. Now, I know I'm a Michigan fan, so obviously I'm biased because Michigan won the game in overtime. But the point I'm making is that was a game that had very few penalties. It was a game where the refs let the team settle the game on the field. And because the refs only made good calls and only made calls when they absolutely needed to, it became about the players on the field and the coaches on the sideline. It became about the actual game and not, well, here we go, John O'Neill, is going to call a game, or Rod Snodgrass is going to call 57,000 pass interferences against Team A because Team B, blah, blah, blah. It was great because it was about the Jimmies and Joes on the field. And, I mean, who doesn't love that? Who doesn't love seeing brilliant, you know, Greek god-like athletes doing the amazing things they can do on the field, devoid of distractions, devoid of controversy? To me, that is the ultimate in sport. That's the ultimate goal of what sport should be. All right, that'll do it for episode 3. I'd like to thank everyone for giving me the last, 21 minutes, good Lord. for giving me the time to, you know, for giving me your time and your ears and your attention. Thank you very much. For those of you listening on YouTube, please consider subscribing and hitting the bell notification and leaving a like. For those of you listening on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, thank you. All right, the next episode of the Monday Report will be Absolute Cinema, the good and bad traits of sports films. We're going to talk all about racing movies and football movies and baseball and all sorts of fun stuff. And then the one after that will be Daytona Days, thoughts on the Great American Race, which will both be my thoughts on Sunday's Daytona 500, but also my thoughts on the race as a whole, even especially from a more historic standpoint. So look forward to that. Stay tuned. Until next time.